Chris. Welcome to Odyssey. We're just getting ready for a time of wonder and discovery. So why don't you get the whole family together and join us for another exciting adventure in Odyssey.
Now, young Antoninus, you die.
I know.
I have two companions who will journey with me to Rome.
Father? Rome?
This is madness.
And that's your surprise. You're coming with me.
We're going to run aground!
We'll have to abandon ship!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kids Radio. I'm Jack Allen, and today's story is from a book I found right here in the library at Wits End called Voyage to Rome. It's about a young Roman boy named Antoninus who lived in the city of Caesarea in the first century. Antoninus had an adventure like no other, and it all started in the courtyard of his home in the most exciting way, a sword fight.
And now, young Antoninus, you die.
If this were a real battle.
You won again, Father. How do you do that?
A good soldier must have eyes in the back of his head, son. I've told you many times you must be prepared for anything.
I know. I'll never be able to beat you.
Oh, you will one day, my son. And only with a lot of practice.
Whoa. Centurion!
Huh? Oh!
Be prepared for anything.
Very good.
Centurion.
What is it, Suetonius?
The governor has summoned you.
Very well. Tell his excellence we'll be there directly.
Yes, sir.
We, Father?
Yes, Antoninus. We have an appointment with Governor Festus. I want you to see something there.
What is it, Father?
The governor and King Agrippa are hearing the testimony of a very unusual prisoner. I think you'll find it amusing, and there may be a surprise in it for you.
Surprise? What?
If I told you, it wouldn't be a surprise.
I know.
Come now, hurry and get dressed. We mustn't keep the governor waiting.
And so, great Agrippa, I obeyed the vision from heaven. I preached in Damascus, Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and even to the Gentiles. The message was always the same. They should turn from their sins and turn to God, and prove their repentance by doing good deeds. The Jews had me arrested in the temple for preaching and tried to kill me, but my God protected me, and I am still alive today to tell these things to everyone. I teach only what Moses and the prophets taught. The Messiah would suffer, die, and rise from the dead.
Rise from the dead?
Yes, most excellent Festus, to bring light to Jews and Gentiles alike.
A dead man coming back to life. Paul, you are insane. Your great learning has broken your mind.
I am not insane. I speak the truth. King Agrippa knows about these things. That's why I speak freely of them. They weren't done in secret. Great King, do you believe the prophets? I know you do.
Would you put words in my mouth? Do not think you can so easily persuade me to follow your ways.
I would to God that not only you, but all who hear me would become as I am, except for these chains.
Agrippa, this is madness. Voices from heaven, dead men coming back to life. How much more will you hear?
Festus, I would speak to you in private.
In private? But I...
This way, my lord governor.
Father, the man in chains, who is he?
He calls himself Paul, although his name is Saul, from Tarsus. He is a leader of a religious sect called Christianity.
Christianity? You mean the Way?
How do you know of them?
I've heard your men talking, but he doesn't look like a dangerous criminal.
Danger takes many forms, Antoninus. Remember that.
Yes, Father.
What else have you heard from my soldiers?
Well, that those in the Way follow the teachings of a Jewish carpenter. Is that true?
Yes. His name was Jesus. He was crucified when I was a boy. That's who Paul was talking about, their Messiah who rose from the dead. Misguided fool.
Yeah. Still, he has a lot of courage to stand up to the governor.
You sound as though you admire him.
Well, You've always said that courage is something a Roman should admire.
Have I? I'm going to have to watch what I say from now on. Just make sure his courage is the only thing you admire.
Yes, Father.
Quiet now. Festus and Agrippa return.
Well, Paul, it would appear you have a champion in King Agrippa.
I am no champion. I merely point out Roman law, as the governor well knows.
Of course, of course. It is true you have done nothing to deserve death or imprisonment. However, your own foolish tongue prevents your release.
My foolish tongue?
You could have been set free had you not appealed to Caesar.
My appeal was not foolish. Had you released me, I would have found another way to appear before Emperor Nero.
If you think that you will persuade him to become a Christian, you are a fool. But no matter. You want to go to Caesar, and to Caesar you shall go. Julius!
My lord?
This man is in your custody. See to it that he arrives in Rome.
Yes, my lord.
This court is adjourned.
Suetonius?
Yes, Centurion?
Take a detachment and accompany Paul to his dwelling so he can gather his things.
I have two companions who will journey with me to Rome.
Fine, so long as they pay their own way. We leave at dawn, Suetonius.
Yes, Centurion. Come on, you.
Father? Rome?
Yes. I was here several days ago when Paul first appealed to Caesar. My commander warned me that I'd be chosen to take him. And that's your surprise. You're coming with me.
What? Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now let's not stand here. We have packing to do. We're going to Rome.
And so they put out to sea. The governor placed several other prisoners in Julius' charge along with Paul. Paul spent most of his time with his companions, Luke and Aristarchus. They had quite a few days of rough sailing, which was part of the adventure Antoninus could have done without.
Are you all right, son?
I thought I'd be used to the sea by now.
Well, at least the fish are getting a good meal.
Please, Father, don't say meal.
I'm sorry.
Pardon me, Centurion.
What is it?
I am Luke.
Ah, yes, one of Paul's companions. What do you want?
I couldn't help noticing your son's agony. I'm a physician. I've prepared an herb tea that will help soothe his stomach. May I give it to him?
If you drink some first.
Of course. You see? Perfectly safe.
Very well. Go ahead.
Drink it all down, Antoninus.
All right. Hey. Hey, it's working. My stomach is settling. I do feel better. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're the one who's always writing, aren't you?
Yes.
Are you preparing a book of some sort?
In a way, I'm keeping a record of Paul's journey.
A record? Did you put down how foolish it was for him to appeal to Caesar?
Foolishness is in the eye of the beholder, Centurion.
But he could be free now.
Paul did not want to be free. He wanted the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with the emperor, as he was commanded to do.
Does he really expect Caesar to follow the teachings of a Jewish carpenter?
Nothing is impossible with God. Paul's life is proof of that.
His life? What do you mean?
Paul was not always a believer. In fact, there was a time when the Brotherhood had no greater enemy.
Than Paul?
Yes. He did horrible things to the followers of Jesus, imprisoning them, voting to put them to death, making them try to curse the name of Christ. He even hounded them in distant cities in foreign lands.
What made him change?
He was on such a journey to Damascus, when about noon, a light brighter than the sun shone down on him from heaven, driving him to his knees. And then from the light came a voice.
Saul. Saul. Do you hear that?
A voice calling my name.
Saul. Saul. Why are you persecuting me?
Who are you, Lord?
I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now arise and go into the city. There you will be told what you must do.
The carpenter spoke to him?
Jesus spoke to him, the Son of God. And not only spoke, he struck Paul blind.
Blind? What did he do?
He went into Damascus and stayed deep in prayer for 3 days. Then the Lord restored his sight and gave him strict charge to preach the gospel of Jesus to all the world. So you see, Paul feels he has no choice but to appear before Nero.
That's incredible, isn't it, Father?
We'll see when we get to Rome.
Could I read your book, Luke? I'd like to know more.
Of course. Better yet, why don't you talk to Paul?
Perhaps later. Right now, I think you should get some rest, Antoninus. We'll pull into Fair Havens in the morning, and we'll need to arrange passage for the remainder of the journey. Go on below. I'll join you shortly.
Yes, Father.
Listen to me, Christian. I've treated you with kindness up to now because I believe in Roman justice, and I think Paul's case is a good one. But I don't want my son reading your book or talking to Paul. Antoninus is a Roman. His allegiance is to Caesar alone. Is that clear?
Yes, of course.
The company stayed in Fair Havens for several days while Julius arranged transportation. He found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy, captained by a man named Rama.
My ship is the most seaworthy on the Mediterranean. Hey, tie that cargo down, dogs! She'll get you and your passengers to Rome. The right prize.
You will be well paid, pirate. When do we leave?
Tomorrow. Dawn.
Suetonius, secure the prisoners on board for the night.
Yes, Centurion. All right, let's move.
Do we have to leave so soon, Father?
We've been ashore several days now. Haven't you recovered yet?
What's the matter, little Centurion? The sea does not agree with you?
I've recovered, and the sea agrees with me fine. It's just that it looks pretty rough out there, that's all.
Rough? This isn't rough. Sail along the coast of Egypt. That's where you'll find rough seas.
I agree with Antoninus.
You do?
And who are you?
This is Paul, one of my prisoners.
Prisoner or not, I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, injuries, even death.
Tell me, prisoner, are you a sailor?
No, I'm a tent maker.
A tent maker who knows about the sea!
It is almost winter, is it not?
Yes.
Winter is the most dangerous time to sail.
Well, pirate, is what he says true?
We have weeks before the harsh weather comes. Besides, Fair Havens is unsuitable to winter in. We need to sail to Phoenix in Crete, where the harbor is more protected. Of course, if you'd rather have your prisoner tent maker captain the boat...
Father, maybe we should listen to Paul.
Suetonius, put Paul below with the others. We leave at dawn.
Yes, Centurion.
Come, Antoninus.
And don't be late! Ah! Gently, son of a camel, or I'll take the loss out of your hide!
Again, Julius, Antoninus, Paul, and the rest put out to sea. For the first few days, everything went well. A gentle south wind pushed them forward, and the sailing was smooth as glass. But it was literally the calm before the storm. Very suddenly, a wind of hurricane force called a nor'easter swept down from the island. The ship was instantly caught in a storm.
Turn her into the wind, dog! Into the wind!
I can't, Captain. She won't turn!
By the gods! What do we do?
All right, let the wind take her!
The killer!
Yes, sir!
You men, hoist the lifeboat aboard and make it secure!
Yes, Captain!
You other men, pass ropes under the ship to hold it together! Now, dogs, move!
Captain, what if we run aground?
Lower the sea anchor. We'll hear it scrape bottom before we hit the shore. Now go! Go!
Yes, sir!
They fought the storm for several days, taking a violent battering. Rama saw that to survive, they had to take drastic measures.
We have to lighten the ship. Throw the cargo overboard.
The cargo?
But, Captain, think of the money we lose.
You'd rather lose your life, man.
Throw it overboard. And when you finish with the cargo, throw the ship's tackle over as well.
The tackle?
It's useless now, and it's just weighing us down. Now get moving.
Yes, sir.
They lightened the ship as much as they could. Then, most of the crew went below with the passengers and prisoners to ride out the storm. But the storm didn't stop. And when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, the sailors gave up all hope of being saved. Many of them just sat all day stunned with fear, praying to their pagan gods. Antoninus was also very scared, until Paul showed him a special story from Luke's book about another storm.
One day, Jesus and his followers were out in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." While they were sailing, he became tired and fell asleep. Suddenly, a fierce storm blew up on the sea, filling the boat with water. They were in danger of sinking.
"Go ahead, Antoninus."
The followers rushed to Jesus and woke him. "Master, Master," they cried, "how can you sleep? We're sinking. Don't you care if we drown?" Jesus got up and went to the rail, raised his head, and said, "Quiet, peace, be still." And instantly, the wind and the waves subsided, and all was calm. Jesus turned and said to his followers, "Where is your faith?" The followers were afraid and amazed, and said to each other, "Who is this man? Even the winds and the waves obey him." "This is just a story, isn't it?"
"Of course it's just a story."
"Father!"
"Antoninus, I told you I didn't want you reading this book."
"I'm sorry, Father."
"It's my fault. He was frightened by the storm, and I thought the story would comfort him."
"This is no time for wild tales."
"It is not a wild tale. Luke and I have both talked to the men who were there on that boat."
"But that's impossible. Only a god can control the wind and the sea."
"Not a god, Antoninus. The God. The Lord Jesus Christ."
"Rubbish. He was a man. A man that died on the cross. How can God be a man who died?"
"I would say that only God could accomplish such a thing, wouldn't you?"
"Then he is a cruel god to abandon his followers in their time of need."
"He has not abandoned us. He is here with us right now. And he will save us all."
"You call this saving us?"
"Listen to me, men. All of you. You should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss."
"Tell us something we don't know, tent maker."
"I urge you to keep up your courage, because none of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed."
"What are you talking about?"
"Last night, an angel came to me from the god I belong to and serve. He stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. The Lord God will save the lives of everyone sailing with you. So keep your courage, men. We will run aground on some island, but I have faith in God that everything will happen just as his angel told me. We will reach Rome."
By now, the ship had been in the storm 14 days, driven across the Mediterranean Sea. Then, at about midnight on the following day, the captain and crew rushed out on the deck to face a new threat.
"What is it, Brahma?"
"The sea anchor has scraped bottom. Sounding! 120 feet!
"What does that mean?"
"We're approaching land."
"What are you doing?"
"Checking the depth of the sea. We need to know how close we are. Sounding!
90 feet!
We're going to run aground! We'll be dashed against the rocks!"
"Quiet! This is no time to lose your head! Drop 4 anchors from the stern! Do it now!"
"Yes, Captain!"
"Is there anything else we can do?"
"Yes! Pray to your gods for daylight!"
"Father!"
"Antoninus, get below!"
"But Father, those sailors are lowering the lifeboat!"
"Rama! Your men are trying to jump ship!"
"Dogs! What are you men doing? I said lower the anchors, not the lifeboat!"
"We're getting out of here, Captain."
"This is our only chance!"
"Tell everyone to abandon ship. No!"
"Paul!"
"Stay out of this, Christian."
"Centurion, unless those men stay with the ship, they cannot be saved."
"What do you know of the sea?"
"Nothing. I only know what my God has told me. Leave the ship and you will die."
"Tell them to stay, Father. Please."
"They will stay with the boat, Rama."
"You're going to listen to him?"
"Yes. Tell them now.
the ropes!
Captain!
Let the boat fall! Do it!
You've just condemned us to death, Captain!
And we'll all die together! Now everyone, get below!
Down in the hold, just before dawn, Paul encouraged them and urged them all to eat.
Men, for the last 14 days, you've been watching and waiting and haven't eaten anything. Now I beg you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. Luke, the bread.
Here you are, Paul.
Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus, who bringeth forth bread from the earth. Amen.
Amen.
Luke?
Thank you.
Antoninus? Julius? Please, eat.
Father?
All right.
Captain, join us.
You are mad, tentmaker. Why not? Come on, men, let's eat.
They all gathered around and ate and were encouraged. Though the storm still raged outside, the mood in the hold was almost festive. Once they were full, the captain rose and made an announcement.
All right. Listen to me, all of you. This has been a fine meal. Now we'll make the occasion complete and throw the rest of the grain overboard to lighten the ship. Come! All right, over the side with it all! Come on! Let's go!
No, wait! Everyone, wait! It's land!
Where is it, Captain? Do you recognize it?
No, I don't. But I do see a bay with a sandy beach. We can run the ship aground there.
Cut loose the anchors!
Yes, sir!
Run aground? I thought you were trying to avoid that.
Nothing can stop it now. Better to land on sand than rocks. Get everyone below! All right, untie the rudders! Hoist the foresail to the wind and make for the beach!
Yes, sir!
The captain and crew fought the storm and the rushing tide as best they could. They managed to maneuver into the bay, but as they tried to steer to shore...
What happened?
We struck a sandbar. We've run aground. How bad is it?
The bow is stuck fast. We'll not move, sir.
The stern is breaking to pieces.
All right. We'll have to abandon ship. So get below and tell everyone.
Right.
You men, over the sides. Quickly. Now go.
Suetonius, line up the prisoners and form a detail.
Yes, Centurion.
Father, what's going on?
The ship is breaking up. We're going ashore, but we have to prevent the prisoners from swimming away and escaping. The only way we can do that is by killing them.
Killing them? Even Paul?
He is a prisoner, Antoninus.
Draw swords!
No! You can't! Wait, Suetonius!
It's a standard procedure, son.
I don't care! You're a soldier, not a butcher! You wouldn't do such a thing. Not to Paul!
Antoninus, it is my duty as a Roman centurion to keep my prisoners from escaping.
Please, Father! I beg you! Don't do this! Please!
I'm sorry. Suetonius?
Forward!
No! I won't let you do it!
Antoninus, move out of the way!
Paul has promised that no one will be lost. Isn't that right, Paul?
As I said, my God has told me that he will save the lives of all aboard this ship.
So to prove your God correct, you'll have to see everyone on the shore, right?
That is true.
And you can't do that if the prisoners run away.
Antoninus!
Father, I believe what Paul said will happen. Please, don't do this!
Your order, Centurion!
Stand down, Suetonius.
Sir?
Stand down! Paul and the others will be spared on my authority.
You'd better do something or none of you will be spared!
Everyone over the side! If you can't swim, grab onto planks or boards from the ship. Go! Go!
God bless you, Julius.
I want no blessings from your God. I spared you for the sake of my son, if only to prove you wrong when men are missing. Now get over the side! Antoninus, take my hand!
Here, Father!
Let's go!